Praise God. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? So thankful for all of his blessings. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19. Read a couple of verses in the book of Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. So get ready. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. And somebody said amen when you get there. Amen. Thank God for his word this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Everybody said landmark. My neighbor's landmark. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 17. Now this is kind of an emphasis on Deuteronomy 19 that we just read. It's not a suggestion here, but it's a very important thing. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. 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 Proverbs 22 and verse 28. We talked about our neighbor's landmark, and then we're going to talk about the ancient landmark. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. Praise God. Proverbs 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the field of the fatherless. Praise God. I want to talk about landmarks this morning. And let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. And that the word of God will get deep into our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for a touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. Anoint us, speak to us, touch us today with the word of God. We give you praise. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. You know, the concept of landmarks goes back a long time. And a landmark is something that establishes the border or the perimeter of a person's property. Every one of us that own property here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. If you buy a piece of property or if you buy a piece of land, it will have the legal description of that property. And which simply means that it is establishing where it is located so that nobody else can come along and lay claim to your property. It's something that in old times was very important because a person's property was their inheritance. And it was supposed to be, this the way it was in scripture days in the Old Testament, that the property, when the parents passed away, it would be inherited by their children. And then their children, and from generation to generation. And we have landmarks in our country as well. We just talked about going to Colorado. If you go to the top of Pikes Peak there in Colorado, there's a certain spot where there is a marker. It was drilled out of the stone and placed and glued in there, been there for a long, long time, and it's a surveyor's landmark. I did some study about this, and there are major landmarks, and then those landmarks make a point of reference for every other landmark that would come off of that, all the way down to an individual's property. And it's a landmark, it's a point where everything else is measured. And if somebody was to move that landmark, it would cause a major amount of trouble. It would cause a major amount of problems. And it's very important this morning that we place some landmarks in the things of God. Somebody said amen. Because we have an inheritance this morning, and God has given it to us. I appreciate the words of these young people this morning, and feel like that they are getting this truth into their heart and getting into their mind and in their spirit what it means to live for God and to do our very best for God. Amen. And that's the will of God. We need to pass this down to our children, and so that they can pass it down to their children. Well, praise God. That's the will of God. That's the plan of God. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 14. And we read it this morning. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time. Everybody said old time. Old time, which they of old time. Somebody set that landmark before we got here. And if we go back to the beginning of time, we could see that it was the Lord that set that landmark from the very beginning. Praise God. He had a plan. He said, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. And so our inheritance was laid out ahead of time, and it was given to us ahead of time so that we could do our very best with what is given to us. He said that they have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. And so God wants to give us some things. Amen. He has given us an inheritance today. Praise God. And that inheritance that we have been given is our wonderful salvation. It is what we could sum up by calling the kingdom of God. Amen. We're not just in a little church building here this morning, but we are in the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is mighty, it's big, it's awesome. And we have been given a portion of it here. We've been given an earnest of our inheritance in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When you receive the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, that was a portion of our inheritance. What a powerful, wonderful experience it is to have the Holy Ghost. I remember when I received the Holy Ghost, what a powerful, wonderful experience it is to have that experience. And that was back in 1974. And I don't want to say this to brag or be braggadocious at all, but this morning when I was in prayer before the service, the Lord touched me one more time. And I just can't get away from the thrill of having the Lord in my life. Praise God. And feeling the power of the Lord in my life. I feel him right now. Praise God. And it's an earnest of what we're going to have a lot of. It's a little bit of a whole lot that we're going to experience when we get over to the other side. And this inheritance in the kingdom of God has some truths that are in the kingdom of God. Truth is a very important thing. Without truth, you're not going to establish anything in your life. We'll never establish anything in our country, in our world. Truth is a very stabilizing thing. It is something that we can lean on. We went on a tour yesterday, and you can't build an airplane unless you know what the truth is. Praise God. If you just start drilling holes in things and slapping things together, somebody's going to get killed. Amen. Somebody's not going to make it. So truth is a very important thing. And truth is so important that it gives stability to the church. It gives stability to parents. It gives stability to young people. It gives us stability that nothing else can give us in our lives. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And when they began to sing It's All in Him, I said, yes, I'm right on target here this morning, because we have some truths today that we are standing on, and those truths will never change. They remain the same from generation to generation. Are you thankful this morning for the blessings that God has given you? Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Wake up just a little bit here this morning. Amen. Well, praise God. Maybe we ought to all just take a nap this morning. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, the Bible tells us here, Jesus is speaking, and I want to read this scripture, and then I want to go backwards a little bit, and I want to show you something here. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Actually, we're going to go forward after I read this. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples. Maybe it was just 11 here, but he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. And this was and is our inheritance today. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, just keep your finger there in Luke chapter 24. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And so we are built upon something. There is a foundation that has been laid, and a foundation cannot be laid unless there are some landmarks. Amen. Unless there are some truths that we are laying down and establishing and putting there from generation to generation. Amen. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Now this is after he gave them their understanding of the scriptures. The apostles did not just make up things. They didn't just say, well, let's just preach whatever we want to preach. They received it from Jesus when he opened up their understanding. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And so he said unto them, it is written. Where was it written? It was written in the old landmark, the ancient landmark that we called the Old Testament. And he said, I've got to die and rise again. And we know that that is the gospel. The essence of the gospel this morning is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he said, I'm going to open your understanding to the scriptures, and I'm going to give you the essence of the gospel. Verse 47, here is the essence of the gospel. Verse 46 and 47 go together. And that repentance, all right, that is a spiritual death, Romans 6 and 6, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. And he said, and that repentance and remission of sins. Where does remission of sins come from? It comes from baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm just hitting it quickly, and I'm going to go back over it here this morning. But if you want the Lord to give you this ancient landmark, then you're going to have him open your understanding to the scriptures. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Amen. So we preach repentance in the name of Jesus. We preach We preach remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Amen. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then he was lifted up and ascended up into heaven. And so what we have here for our basic foundation, for the landmark that God has given to us here from the Old Testament, and then from Jesus Christ, and then now from the apostles. They all agree together. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Peter and the rest of the apostles did not contradict the Old Testament scripture. They did not contradict the teachings of Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus taught from the Old Testament. He didn't have a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't have any of the epistles or the book of Revelation to go by. He had the Old Testament. Amen. And in the Old Testament, there had to be the death of an innocent lamb for the salvation of mankind, for the rolling forward of sins. And Jesus came and fulfilled the Old Testament and reestablished the landmark that the Old Testament had established. Praise God. And so the landmark of salvation is given to us here in the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse 5, if you'll turn with me this morning. I know this is not new news to all of us here this morning, but it's still good news. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there's a key word there, two words, the kingdom of God. Amen. And I think we all understand what the kingdom of God is and what it is not. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not a gathering together where we eat and drink, and it's a social gathering. The kingdom of God does not bring joy and peace and all of the things that we have in the Lord through eating and drinking, through satisfying the desires of our flesh, but it is in the old landmark. Praise God. And that old landmark is still applicable here today. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you want to be happy this morning, then get in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will give you joy. Praise the Lord. You got to remember and understand that joy is not in the things that you possess. It is not in the place that you live, but the joy of the Lord, amen. It is his joy put inside of us, amen. Jesus had joy, and it made him strong enough to go through the passion of the cross. And we can make it through the passion of this life and all the difficulties and struggles that all of us have in this life, and it only comes through the Lord. Amen. It only comes through the Lord. Praise God. And we sometimes think, if I had this, I would be happy. If I would have that, I would be happy. If I could have something that somebody else has, then I would be happy. But the truth of the matter is, this morning, there's only one way we can be truly happy, and that's to be born again. Somebody said amen. Amen. Thank God for the truth of salvation and for a landmark. We are living in a time where many are trying to move the landmark, and they're taking one stone out and moving it over a little ways. And then when nobody's looking, they take another stone out and move it over just a little bit. But the fathers of the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ, and our elders, the 12 apostles, they laid some things down that we need to lay down in our lives. Praise God, that we need to lay down in the church, that we stand upon, that we live, that we love with all of our hearts. And this is one of the major ones, and that is how to be born again. Praise God. Because if you don't have the truth, you're going to go off into a lie. You're going to go off into something else that is not truth. We are seeing in our generation churches or organizations, I should say, that began with a Holy Ghost outpouring, speaking in tongues, falling out in the Spirit, shouting and praising God and dancing in the Holy Ghost, to a time right now where they are allowing homosexuals to preach in the pulpit. And I know that's plain, but that's just us here this morning. How can you get from one point to another point? I'll tell you how. Somebody came along and they took a stone out of the landmark. Praise God. They took a stone out. And then somebody else came along and took another stone out. And then someone else came along and did the same thing. And before you know it, if the older ones were to come along, they would say, wait a minute, the landmark has moved. It's not the same as it was before. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've already got somebody under conviction here this morning. Thank God for these little ones. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38, we find the scripture here that is a major part of our landmark. Amen. And we've got to get a hold of these, and we've got to lay these in our foundation and never, ever, never, ever leave it and go another way. Amen. There's a lot of folks today that are searching and looking, and the reason is they have no foundation. They have no landmark. They don't know where the corner of the property is. They don't know how big the property is. They don't have a way to measure it. But here's one way that you can measure the boundary of God's inheritance for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Brother Reed, are you there? Would you read those for me? Amen. Now, there are some that want to change that landmark, but we're going to hang on to that landmark here this morning. Praise God. It's a beautiful landmark. It was laid by the elders. Amen. That there is only one way, and that is to repent. That's our spiritual death. And to be baptized, that's our spiritual burial. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is our spiritual resurrection. Amen. That is a landmark that God gave us in the word of the Lord. I've seen so many that have changed the landmark. And it's amazing when you change the landmark here, when you take this one stone out of the landmark, it seems like the picture of your land, it changes. It's not the same as what it was before. I've never seen anyone that has left the basic truth of the Word of God that has prospered and been blessed. Amen. But thank God for those that are holding on to the Word of God, but not just holding on, and like we heard this morning from one of the young people, we've got to take it out and we've got to share it with those that are around us. Praise God. Because everybody needs to have a landmark in their life. Everybody needs to know where to go to church. What a basic fundamental foundation. Where do I go to church? I've had so many say that. And those that didn't come up with the answer, they just made up their own church. Amen. They just came up with their own church. They came up with their own idea of what church is supposed to be. And church is very important. Most of the New Testament is written. In fact, I could say all of the New Testament is written to the churches. Amen. And Revelation, even, it is to the churches. Because the church is what he purchased on Calvary. And so as a church, we have to have cornerstones. Amen. We have to have landmarks in the property, not just our physical property. And thank God for our building and for our property. God's blessed us here. And thank God for all of the pews. It's the will of God that we fill up all of these pews. Amen, that we bring somebody to the house of God with us, and we can't be thinking about ourselves all the time, but what we must do is we must think about the kingdom of God and where I fit into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. It's in the Holy Ghost this morning. It's in repentance. It's in having your sins remitted. We're living in a time today when if you don't like the way the pastor preaches, we're just going to go to another church. And it is this idea that all churches that say the name of Jesus are okay. And so I can just find a church that fits me. And that's where most of our generation is at today. And it's simply this. It's because they do not have a personal foundation on the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to talking to someone here this week, and it wasn't a debate, but it could have gotten into a debate. Amen. And we got to talking about purgatory. And if you've never heard that before, purgatory is supposed to be a place between this life and heaven. And if you have a lot of sin in your life, then you go to purgatory and you spend a certain amount of time there and you suffer and you pay for the sins that you committed so that you can go to heaven. And the individual said that nobody can go to heaven unless they're perfect, and so we have to go to purgatory until we become perfect. And I said, well, the Bible says that we're made perfect in Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't pay for my sins, I said. There's only one who can pay for my sins, and that's the one that went to Calvary on the cross. And when I was filled with the Holy Ghost and my sins were washed away in baptism, I was made righteous in the eyes of God. I was ready to go to heaven right there. Amen. There was nothing left that I needed to do. I could go to heaven right there at that point. And we understand there are some other stones in the foundation I want to talk about this morning. But thank God for the gospel this morning. Thank God for the truth of the Word of God, that we must repent of our sins, be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. Somebody came along and has taken a stone out of this and said that the word "for" should have been translated "because." Amen. That we repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the remission of sins. But the very proponent of that truth or of that doctrine baptizes in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. It really doesn't make any sense to me. When the Word of God is given to us, that word right there, I've looked it up, and it does mean "for." Praise God. We're not getting baptized because our sins were remitted. Amen. We're getting baptized to have our sins remitted. Amen. Praise God. We've got to be buried. We've got to be buried with him, and we are buried with him by baptism. Praise God. The old man dies when we repent. The old man is buried when we are baptized. Thank God he's not around anymore. Amen. That old man's not around anymore. Thank God for that. But we cannot live for God as an empty vessel. When we repent of our sins and our sins are remitted or washed away, as it would describe here, remission there means to blot out or to erase. And when our sins are erased, when we turn away from sin, which is repentance, and then our sins are washed away in baptism, we are now a clean, empty vessel. Praise God. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, Jesus said that it is swept and garnished. Amen. Not only is it swept out, but it's decked out. Praise God. But it doesn't have an inhabitant in there yet. And that's what happened when we got saved. Praise God. When you came to the altar and said, God, I'm going to live for you. And you went to the waters of baptism and you had your sins washed away. We became a clean house. Amen. Everything was gone, not just gone, but brand new curtains in the window, brand new furniture everywhere, promises all over the place. What a beautiful, beautiful house it was when we repented of our sins and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But nobody was living there. Amen. It was just us. And if it was just us, we would not be able to make it, because none of us have the power to live for God. None of us have the power to do the will of God, and that's why we need our house filled up with God. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Ghost and all that the Holy Ghost gives us. Praise God. I'm thankful for the gospel this morning. Are you thankful today? I'm thankful for the gospel this morning that will literally set us free, but not just set us free, but it will put a landmark in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We understand this. We get it as apostolic folks. We are one God apostolics. Amen. Why are we one God apostolics? Because the apostles were one God apostolics. Amen. Well, praise God. Apostolic simply means following the teachings of the New Testament apostles. And they were Jews, and they believed in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the very man that opened their understanding to the scripture claimed that this was the greatest commandment in the Word of God. And so with our landmark, we have stones in our landmark, but the stone that is the biggest one in our landmark, amen, and of course the biggest one is the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, but it is the truth and understanding of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and verse 5. But if you look at it here this morning, there's more to it than just verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 1, 2, and 3 precedes these verses. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments. Everybody said commandments. commandments. There's a stone that goes in our landmark. The statutes, everybody said the statutes. And the judgments, everybody said the judgments. Amen. Which the Lord thy God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And so there is land to possess, but the land has to have cornerstones. Amen. The land has to have landmarks. It has to have some things that are established. And those things that are established are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments. Amen. We've thrown those away in our generation, and now anything goes. And that's what happens when you get rid of your landmark in your life. When you get off of that landmark, anything can go. You can move it anywhere you want to, and it will change it drastically. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Amen. This gives us long life, long spiritual life. We should be able to make it all the way to the very end. Praise God. All the way to the very end. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily. And so we're not just getting a piece of property, we're going to increase. We're going to get better and better. Praise God. Did you know we're on an upward road here this morning? And going up a road costs a little bit more energy, but the downward road is easier, and you don't really have to put out a whole lot of energy, but it doesn't go anywhere that's good. We're on an upward road here this morning. If you're in the middle of a battle in your life, I'm telling you, you're on the right road. Praise God. It may not be a lot of encouragement this morning, but we're going onward and we're going upward in our walk with God, that it may be well with thee. How many wants it to go well? I want things to go well. That thou mayest increase mightily. Praise God. Amen. I'm not so sure that it's just one here and one there. But I would love to see the Lord give this church 100 soul revival. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you what. We need to broaden our horizons and do exactly what one of the young people said. Get out and do something. Praise God, because we are laborers together with God, and we can increase mightily. Amen. And as the Lord thy God of thy fathers, there's the fathers, hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Praise God. Why should we sit around eating lemons, amen, when there's milk and honey to be had? Praise God. Well, my life is not what I expected it to be, and I'm not happy where I'm at right now. Well, I'm telling you what, you can be happy in God. You can be happy in the Lord this morning and happy in the Word of God. We have a foundation today. We have an inheritance, amen, and that inheritance is marked by the landmarks that have been set by the elders. Praise God. And this Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it comes now into the New Testament. Jesus, as I've already said, he said this is the greatest commandment. But here he was performing miracles, doing great things, raising the dead. And they said, "Who in the world are you?" They asked that of John the Baptist, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm just a forerunner. There's someone coming after me that's mightier than I." We've got to know who Jesus is this morning. Praise God. It is a stone in the landmark, in the corner of our property. And if we don't have this cornerstone, we can go anywhere. Praise God. We can go anywhere. There was a council in the city of Nicaea, and it was in 325 AD. And this council had a number of people. You can look it up if you're interested, if you really want to know the truth, what happened. But there were people there that were necromancers, meaning people that conjured up the dead. And there were all kinds of deviant individuals at this council. And they decided that they were going to change Deuteronomy 6 and 4, and they were going to add a word to the scriptures that the scripture does not possess, and that is the word Trinity. And they decided that there were three gods in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it was a major move of taking a stone out of a landmark that was laid by Moses, by Abraham, by Jesus Christ, by all of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, and they said, we're going to do this. And then not only did they do that, but they changed the formula of baptism from the name of Jesus Christ to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not only did they change that, but they changed repentance, where you don't really have to repent, but because they instituted infant baptism at that time. And so you can see when you take a stone out of a landmark, you can move it anywhere you want to move it and establish it somewhere else. But I'm telling you today, I want the landmark that God has established. I'm not interested in the traditions of men, not interested in the ideas of men, but folks, we've got to be founded upon the good word of God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. They asked the Lord in John chapter 8 and verse 56, who are you? And he answered here, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. He saw it and was glad. When did Abraham see his day? Well, we could go to a number of places, but it could have been when he went to Mount Moriah and he offered his son, and he said, God will provide himself a lamb, an offering. And but there was no lamb. There was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Lord spoke to Abraham, and that very place is still in the Middle East right now, in the country of Israel, right not very far from where the temple is to be rebuilt again. It's called the Dome of the Rock. And they say that this is the place where Abraham attempted to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham got an understanding of something that was coming, but he didn't see what was coming. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Listen to this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, surely, surely, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that exciting? The basic truth of the Word of God is exciting because it confirms and it establishes my inheritance in God. If I ever get confused, all I've got to do is go back to a few simple scriptures and it clears the air. Amen. There's only one God this morning. And his name is Jesus. He came and robed himself in the man Christ Jesus. Amen. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. And Jesus became the mediator between God and men. He was a man, but he was God at the same time. He was the red and the blue in the tabernacle that made the color of purple that came together. Praise God. God could not come down to this earth in his fullness. He would have killed every living soul that came in contact with him. But there was a mediator, a go-between, if you please, between God and men. That was the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now here are these one God Jews, these monotheistic Jews, and when they heard him say, before Abraham was, I am, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Praise God. They knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am God. Amen. I am God manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. I have the nature of God and the nature of man. That's why I can get hungry, and that's why I can get tired. But if you read the scripture, the Bible says the Lord cannot slumber nor sleep. Thank God. Thank God for the truth this morning. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Turn with me. Praise the Lord. James 4 and verse 4. Here's another stone in our landmark today. Brother Reed, would you read that for me this morning? All right, give me 1 John chapter 2 while I digress for a moment here. But he said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, is that a powerful scripture or what? I'm telling you, it's very powerful. And we have such great temptation today. There is so much of the world around us, amen, that is pressing and pushing, declaring and coming up with their logic as to why the Word of God is not relevant for our generation today. But folks, the stone that we're talking about right now is found right here in this good book. Praise God. Amen. It's in the Word of God this morning. 1 John 2, 15 through 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth.
Well, somebody said, amen. Praise God. Thank God this morning for the Word of God, for all that is in the world. So we have a cornerstone here. We have a landmark here. And somewhere out there, and it's not even defined, somebody takes this stone of holiness, this stone of righteousness and righteous living, and they go somewhere to establish another landmark. But I'm telling you this morning, we cannot be apostolic and be worldly at the same time. It just does not work for us. It might work for others in their churchology and in their religiosity, or whatever you want to call it here this morning. Amen. It might work for some, but it's not going to work for any in eternity. We cannot love the world nor the things that are in the world. Praise God. We ought to thank God for the preaching of holiness. And we need to live it. Praise God. We need to do it because not only are we establishing a landmark for ourselves, but we're establishing a landmark for our children as well. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. I'll just read it here this morning. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. I'm telling you, we're living in that time today where folks are adamant, they are bold, and they are in your face, amen, about living for God and doing the will of God. But I still believe there are many, many hungry souls in our world today that are looking for a landmark in their life. Praise God. Amen. We got a little one here this morning. The day's going to come when you draw the line and say, don't do this. And it happens with all of us. It happened with me when I was a kid, and I got a spanking for it. And that's still relevant in our generation today. Somebody said amen. Amen. And the day's going to come, Sister Rapidy, when you draw a line and say, don't do this. And he's going to stick his little toe over the line and then look up at you. Praise God. Does the line really mean the line? Is this really a landmark? Is this really that important? And if you draw the line and they go ahead and cross the line and you don't do anything about it, eventually what will happen is they will not have any direction in their life. There's no line that really is the line. And then they go to the world, and the world says, there is no such thing as a line. You can do whatever you feel, and it'll be all right. And whatever you feel is right is right. Whatever I feel is right is right. And actually, there is no such thing as wrong. But thank God this morning for holiness. Thank God for righteous living, because it clearly defines us from the world. Amen. Well, praise God. Be careful what your children have in their possession. I don't believe that it's really a good thing for these younger people to have a cell phone that it has unlimited data on the internet. I think it is a very dangerous thing, amen, because it opens up the door to no limits. Amen. There are no limits to where we can go, what we can do. It's all right here on this little bitty device. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with texting and all of that, but we can get a little bit carried away with this. But I'm telling you what, we have in the palm of our hand the forbidden fruit. Amen. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. How are the landmarks preserved? It's very important. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. We've got to have ministry in our lives. Well, praise God. And that's not just coming and hearing someone and saying, well, that was really nice. But it's walking out the door and following through with the Word of God and living the Word of God. Because if we don't have ministry, it says here, the next verse, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And you can read the rest of that when you get home. We're quickly running out of time here this morning. But I want you to know that if we are spiritual children, just like physical children, we have to remind them. You tell them, don't run out into the street. And 15 minutes later, they're running out into the street again, right? They've got to have somebody to repeat it over and over and over again. Amen. Don't don't do this or do this instead. And they forget, they have to have established in their lives a landmark. And what it means is every now and then you've got to take a little journey. Come here, son, let's go for a walk. We're going to walk out into the field here. Where are we going, Dad? I want to show you something very important. And go out there and say, see this right here? This is the corner of our property. And you've got to take them there time and time again. Because when you're gone, somebody's going to ask them, where's your landmark at? And they're going to say, I don't know where it's at. I have no idea. But if you take them to that landmark over and over again, when you're gone, amen, they'll know exactly where the corners of the property are. And that's exactly what we need for our children. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We've got to have a preacher in our life. I'm skipping over a few things here this morning. But Psalm chapter 105 and verse 8, and I'm going to finish with this. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Praise God. Did you know that stones last a long time? Praise God. I read somewhere where somebody said these are ancient stones, and I just laughed because the stones out in my front yard are ancient stones. They've been around from the very beginning. Praise God. Amen. To a thousand generations. You put that stone in that corner place. You put it in that landmark and protect it and make sure that nobody steals it. Amen. And if somebody comes along and takes a stone out, you go back to their property and you get that stone and put it back in its place. I'm telling you what, the Bible says here that it will last for a thousand generations. Now if you read just a little bit further, he said which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Praise God. If 40 years, or let's say 100 years, is a generation, 100 times 1,000 is 100,000 years. He said it is going to last, the covenant is going to last for 100,000 years. But then he says, you know what, let's just clear this all up. It's going to last forever.
Amen.
Can we stand together this morning? Thank God for a landmark. Thank God for a landmark this morning. You've got a hold of something that's big. Just like one of the young people said this morning, we're a part of a big kingdom of God. And what's going on around here is big. Don't ever let the enemy of your soul tell you otherwise. Amen. The strength and the revival is right here in our hands. We've been given the covenant. We've been given the promises. We've been given the land. The land that flows with milk and honey. It's ours. But he's not going to fill up your milk jug. Amen. And in the morning, there's the milk jug. Now, he did that when they came through the wilderness. There was manna right there laying on the ground. But when they got to the promised land, they had to plant their own corn. They had to reap their own corn. And that's where we're at. We're in the promised land. He's not going to fill your milk jug up. You've got to go out there and milk the cow.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's not going to fill your little squirt bottle up with honey. You got to go out there and put a mask on and get bit a few times, stung a few times, and get that honey out. Praise God. There's a little bit of effort. Sometimes there's a lot of effort. Amen. There's victory. There's giants in the land, but I'm going to give you the land. Amen. Scripture says that when they came into the land of promise, they did not conquer it the first year. But year and by year, the Bible says, year and by year, Here's a little bit of land that we're claiming for ourselves. Here's some more land that we're claiming for ourselves. Praise God. And you look at any church that's having revival. You look at any congregation that is established and is continuing on. It's because there has been a long-term ministry in that church. Churches that run 1,000 have a 40 or 50 year history behind them. You know why? Because things just don't pop up overnight. You plant the seed in the ground, it doesn't pop up overnight. It takes a season. You plant a seed for a tree, and in some cases it's years before you produce the fruit. Amen. We planted a seed in Sister Rapity's mother, and 17 years later it came to fruition. Praise God. Little and by little they conquered the land, but when they conquered the land, they didn't just pillage the land, they set up landmarks. Amen. This is my property. This is my children's property. This is my children's children's property. Unto 1,000 generations, we're going to hold on to this truth, and we're going to establish some things that will last for a long, long time. Aren't you thankful for this morning? How many's thankful this morning? Let's lift our voices right now and let's ask for God's help. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for truth this morning. Thank you for your blessings this morning. Thank you, Lord, for an established line. Help us to see that line, to understand that line. Thank you, Lord, for landmarks. Thank you for truths that are in the Word of God that establish us, that strengthen us, that give us joy, that when we're in the midst of battle, when we're in the midst of trial and tribulation, and that the enemy of our soul would like to take away our joy, I pray, Lord, you will help us to know where that foundation is, where that cornerstone is, where that landmark rests, and go and praise God around it, because it represents the blessings. It represents all the good things that you promised to us. And Lord, we know that you cannot lie, that you tell the truth. And when you promise something, it's a reality. Help us to see that reality this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Let's thank God this morning for the treasure that's been given to us. Amen. Thank God for the treasure this morning of the Word of God, the treasure of truth. Amen. The landmarks in our lives. Praise God. Somebody needs to come and pray this morning. Amen. Somebody needs to come this morning and go back to that foundation one more time. Praise God. As we sing this morning, why don't you come? And let's pray until the Holy Ghost moves, because he's here this morning. Sing this morning.